The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Our guest this morning joins us as he gets ready to release his next project. Makwe Mkhubata has played with many cover bands such as Fever, Touch, and Airborne. He grew into playing a wider range of reeds and composition and joined Hugh Masekela's Lerapo in 1992, toured the world, including playing alongside Lawrence Machiza and Moses Mulelekwa. Since then, he's recorded several solo projects, earning summer nominations, including the category Best Traditional Jazz Album for his project, The Brass Cap Sessions Volume 1. Makwe is back in 2024 with his new project, which he releases through Ropadope and Africa Rise alongside his ensemble, Siyabulela. He is one of South Africa's most esteemed and influential saxophonists of all time and has enjoyed a musical career that has 20 albums as well as accolades from press and fans around the world. Welcome back, in fact, to Kofifi FM 97.2.
Exactly. It's good to be back at home. Yeah, Kofifi kaloku mani.
Where it all began. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. You know, it is indeed an exciting time, you know, as you get ready to reveal to us the next project from you, you know, a personal project, by the way, that you've, you know, decided to call Lullaby for Kayoyo. So let's talk about the inspiration behind the title and how did you decide to name it after Uput Kai?
Man, to name it Ukayoyo Ukaya Mutsueneng, my grandson. It's my very first grandson, Ndwanaka Waki Mkhubata, who actually wrote a Paul Henma wrote a piece about him, you know, some decades ago, you know. Album Mega 2000, Waki's Walk, when Waki was a baby, he used to walk funny, you know. Now his son, you know, happens to, you know, is dead to name an album about him. He's a pride man, you know, whenever he comes for visits, you know, he lights up the house, you know. It's just like Waki when he was growing up, you know, very clever, you know, curious and loving music, singing all the time.
And you record this project alongside Siyabulela, you know, an ensemble that features incredible musicians, you know, such as our very own Sia Charles and Stephen Pifka Evan. The name Siyabulela, of course, to our listeners is Xhosa for We Give Thanks. Let's talk about these musicians and how you brought it all together.
Yeah, I've been privileged when I was touring the States here for the past few years, you know, especially lately, I've been frequenting America, you know. And during those visits, one got to play with almost the same musicians, you know. Hence, I thought, no, let me give my American band a name, Siyabulela, you know. Yeah, yeah. And the name Siyabulela, as you've just, you know, translated it, you know, there's a song also on the album named Siyabulela, you know. It came through a commission, a certain gentleman by the name of Wandile Yani, when he tasked me to do EMDing and producing the album that was called Voices on OR Tamba. This was back in 2017, and that song is part of that that material that was, you know, supposed to be recorded. It's not been released yet. I thought, no, in the meantime, let me borrow that song. It's such a beautiful song. Although on the album, you know, it's got lyrics, but in this case, it's instrumental, you know. So basically, I just borrowed from a commission of a certain show, you know. After all, it's ingoma yam kaloku.
Of course, you got first rights to every part of it, you know. But yes. You know, but Makoi, I really want us to, I think there are some people that are listening this Sunday that are probably, you know, finding out about you for the very first time. You know, first listeners to the K-Jazz Show and those who are maybe recently introduced to jazz music, you know, from a South African context. Let's go back to the days of your upbringing. You know, you grew up in Cape Town. In the historic township of Langa. And looking back for you growing up during those times, how has that experience influenced or shaped your music and you as an artist over the years?
It shaped me in a very big way, such that one is able to write music that has a big band era type of sound. I'm also able to bring out music or very choral music or deep jazz, you know, and that also has a traditional Xhosa, you know, simply because in the 60s, as a toddler, opposite my grandma's house, they used to rehearse a big band, you know, whereby they'll play Ingoma Zulu, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, you know. And then, you know, I like telling this story, you know, yeah, because as a toddler, I thought that band and the house was magical because... Yeah, you know, I'll go there and find myself back at home. It only occurred to me, you know, 3 years later, I must have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
And then a band member or a family member, young Tata, young Sa Ekaya, you know. Yeah, so I absorbed all that music, you know, as a toddler, you know.
Yeah.
And another aspect, yeah, traditional, this was opposite. And then on the left side of my grandma's house, Bekunama amaziyone, Zion church, yabon,
yeah.
On the right hand side, bekunama traditional healers, you know. So, you know, as you know, ekasi music, loud music, by Monday, ngingaba weekends. So weekends were crazy in a beautiful way. There was lots of music going around, you know. Not forgetting also I'm a record of my uncles and aunt, you know. You know, everyone had their favorites. You know, my older uncles were into the old jazz, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and Satchmo, you know. And then the younger uncles, the modern, you know, McCoy Tyner, John Coltrane, you know, avant-garde, Archie Shepp, you know. One of my uncles, Betandu Brahuma Sekela, Obabu Huma Sekela, and he loved choral music, you know. And my grandma on this side, Utatu Brooke Benton, and my aunts loved Marvin Gaye, you know, Aretha Franklin, all that, you know. I've absorbed all these growing up.
Yeah.
That's what schooled me.
Thank you.
What an important point that you're touching on, you know, when we've been having conversations around, you know, music that was done, etc., etc. This is a conversation that I've been having this past week, by the way. They never used to write music. It was just showing up with music. And that was how they interpreted that. That's how they created sound, you know. Would you say that you belong to that same school? Would you say that you just walked in, and because you just alluded now that you were never really in a school for music, but then it was that sonic thing, Lewis, and it just makes sense. Tell us about that experience for you.
Yeah, I definitely come from that school, you know. It's only a bit the latter, you know, when I got into saxophone, the solid 3 years I played by ear, you know, but one got curious to know better about theory and all of that, you know. And I tell you, musicians that learned organically like that, Zidip Gagbi, I'm telling you. you know, and then to this day, I wake up with a song, with an idea. You know,
yeah.
I was asked to do write again, I won't change a thing. I love the way I started. You know, I would love the way I started music. You know, I'm what I am because of the way I learned music. You know, and also. Not forgetting to credit people who helped me along the way. There was Ubaba Wasekwa Kalanga, Ubaba Datuka Tudu, you know, who got hold of an old room, a big room, a thingy migrant dwelling, you know. It was an unused room. What he did, he hired it. He put a piano and a board and a drum kit, you know, and then started teaching a theory to musicians, you know.
Yeah.
This was in the 70s, you know. I only knew about it in 1976, you know. And by that time, he had all these older musicians who were now teaching us, you know, to read, you know. Yeah, you know, I must acknowledge that as well, you know. And of course, there was a gentleman in town, Martin Barrow, also who used to give, free lessons to, you know, kids from townships Ngama weekends, you know. Yes, yeah. And of course, my heroes, Abo Ezra Ngokana, the late Ezra, the late Mankoko Ngozi, you know, Robbie Jensen. I used to ask tips, you know. That's part of my schooling and university.
Absolutely. It's part of how you became, you know, the greatest Bab Makwem Khubata here on the KJ Show. Of course, sharing gems and we're spending time. It's all about his brand new project, Lullaby for Kayoyo. But we could not help but tap into a bit of history, you know, as we always do here on Kofifi FM. Yes, we're spending time with a living legend of South African jazz. He is the saxophonist, known for his work with Hugh Masekela, studied with Langa legends such as Umadoda Qlebakya. And of course, Fezile Black, who is a trumpeter, you know, and of course, Penny Whistle Master Robert Sithole, you know, all these names come from this wonderful history, you know, and he's, of course, our musical guest this Sunday.
Thank you.
But Makoi, let's talk about then moving out of Lana. You arrive in Johannesburg in the 80s, you know, touring with Hugh Masekela and alongside Brazilian incredibles, greats such as Erto and Flora Plurim. Looking back, what are some of those highlights during that time?
Man, there are so many, but they were all beautiful in their own right. Great, you know. I mean, first of all, I want to acknowledge Ubabu Hostix Mabuse for bringing me to Johannesburg, you know. Yeah, I don't want to be arrogant and say I was going to come to Johannesburg anyway. No. But the timing Yokuti Ang landed called me was something else. He saw me perform at Good Hope Center with there was music about Wisby's crossover. You know, this gentleman, the late Louis Ribeiro, tried a similar thing that was done by Johnny Clegg, where we play traditional and rock and all of that, and you know, band from many demographics. So he saw me perform with that. He invited me to 1987. You know, I always cherish that. You know, the timing in 87, and Wako the following year, 1988. I'm 27 or going about 28. I get a recording deal with a British-based record company. You know, that's one of the highlights. You know. Mm. And at the time, they had our own Jonathan Butler, and the gentleman who African Queen, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know exactly who you're referring to. Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm like, no, what is this, you know? And who got me the deal was a talent scout. Back in the day, the beginning of my talent scout, you know, slash producer, the late Koloi Libona. He saw me perform a Roxy Rhythm Bar and offered me a deal, you know. At this time, I'm playing with Hot Sticks, you know. And then, just then, I joined the PJ Powers, you know. And wow. PJ Powers enabled me to make my first visit in America, 1988. I'm hardly a year in Gauteng. You know, that's why I will not forget Ubabu Hostix Mabuse, Super Mabuse, you know? Yeah. The timing was way too beautiful. And of course, the role my mother played back in Cape Town, she used to accommodate musicians that came from Joburg, you know?
Yeah.
She always say, I'm paving my way for Umtana Wam, you know? I'll help these people, you know, because back in the day in the 70s, you know, 60s, there were no hotels. Traveling musicians and be accommodated. That's where my mom came into the picture, you know, she's the one who saw my talent, you know, at a very young age. And even to the point, she bought me my first flute, you know, in 1978. And then meeting Flora Plurim through eMELCH 2000, you know, when there were collaborations, they were recording the late Moses Mulelegwa, and it was something else, you know, rubbing shoulders with those people and being in the studio and performing with them, and then hear them talk. I mean, we are young, you know. You know, hearing these beautiful stories, man, something else. Of course, touring with Ubrahu. Brahu was the best. He was the best, you know. We told the whole world with him, you know.
Thank you.
I want us to talk about collaborations briefly, you know, in the industry. Back in the day, you know, there were so many artists that came together to co-create music with one artist. You know, you'd have yourself, you had Bright Hugh, you'd have Kaifas, you'd have Jonas on this one incredible record, you know. And these days, but McCoy, it's always the same artists that are featured on several projects, you know. And to someone who is a young artist and who understands the art of creating music the way you guys did it back in the day, and he's looking around him and he's saying, but where did that go? You know, what's your take on that? And how would you advise this young artist to, you know, to, and on the importance anyway of collaboration?
Very important, you know, it opens one scope, and also it helps, you know, make our music even richer, you know. When I give masterclasses and workshop, I stress in the, but partnership, collaboration, collaborative work, and also teamwork, you know. Yeah. For instance, when I do an album, I don't produce it myself. I don't write all the songs, you know. I'm capable of doing that, but, you know, I'll rather delegate, you know. Get to my young producer, Luyanda, you know, produce me, Hlubi Khwebulana to write lyrics for me, you know. I don't want to do everything, you know. And also monetary, it also helps so that, you know, they get something good royalties, you know, because property, we must live off them. Yeah, we need to create that, you know. So I encourage youngsters to really collaborate, man, and work, because like you say, back in the day, it was a piece of cake. This day, I work with Paul Henman. Paul is a star in his own right, but he's on my albums. I'm on his albums. Sometimes we collaborate, you know.
Yeah.
And I recently formed a band called Ezasebuhlanti, where I have Ufeya Faku, Lex Fuchane, Paul Henma, Lubi Mhlanga, Barry Fine Sale, you know. You know, six of us, you know, we are musicians, you know. Why can't the youngsters do that, you know? There was Sheer All Stars, you know, with the late Babu Sipho Gumede, Errol Dias, Paul Helmer, Frank Paco, you know? We need this. Another thing I stress with musicians, they mustn't suppress what comes, you know, to them naturally and try to sound like, new wave jazz guys, Yabon. There's nothing wrong with, but bring out what comes naturally more than, you know, trying to sound like, you know, it's just that these names, you know, Kendrick Scott, you know, all nice, you know, guys, you know, it's fine, because now I'm influenced. I was influenced by Groove Washington. I'm still influenced by, you know, Kenny Garrett, all these cats, you know. There might be elements whereby I try to go more than for 4 bars, you know. But I encourage to stress, you know, 80% must be you, you know, so that by the time you are established, you have your own voice, you don't need this. Whatever idea comes naturally, and then you can add elements, you know.
Kofi FM, we're spending time with South Africa's favorite and best saxophonist export to the world, Bob Makoy Mkhubata. He's an elder award-winning jazz producer and educator, you know, who joins us this Sunday as we get ready for his next project, the launch of his next project, Lullaby for Kayoyo. Let's talk about the creative process, you know, for this project and what that sounded like. You know,
as I was getting my ideas, the founder, we've been talking about doing this album a lot, and also I've been touring a lot, you know, in the States with a gentleman called Gary Whitner. So, sometimes you play as a duo. So I thought the process now must change, you know. I always workshop my music mostly with pianists, you know. Sometimes Andy Leyenana, like Quiet Please, Paul Henma, Luyanda Madope. I roped in a guitarist, you know, by the name of Mongi Oscar Dlamini, simply because I knew I was going to go to the States to record this album, you know, and then sometimes play this song as a duo, you know. So what I did, I wrote this gentleman in, and then we worked on the melodies, and then now and then sending the voice, tracks to Ukeri so that he can get the feel, you know, not necessarily to sound like Mongi, Yabon. Yeah. Mm. And then, we did that. And then I also got my favorite arranger and the guy who knows me, my music, like you know, just like Luyanda and Paul, you know, Jabu Makubane. Jabu now cleaned the horn section, where there's horns and all of that, and the harmonies and you know, and when it came to cloak, to court, you know. You know what this goes to now, what I was talking about earlier, teamwork.
Collaboration,
teamwork, not only on stage, even behind the scenes, you know. Yeah. So that was the process. And then I went to America, performed this, we taught the newly formed band, Siabulela, sometimes playing the songs with Ukeri and along with this material. You know, yeah, that's how this time around the process worked. Yeah. Mm.
The album is coming out, you know, through Robodope, which is a label that is home to Bagiti Kumalo, Linda Skakan, and now Mbuso Khoza. You know, let's talk for a moment, briefly, even why you thought it was a good idea or a good move, you know, for this new chapter, you know, as Africa Rise, you know, to be a part of it. And what does this mean for your music now?
It's just gonna go from strength to strength. My music and my career is gonna go to another level, because anything that Seton Hawkins touches turns to gold, you know. And one is privileged that I met this gentleman some years ago. I posted the other day that what am I without Seton Hawkins, you know, in my corner. So I mean that it was a no-brainer. When he mentioned this many years ago, I was like, man, anytime, I'm ready. You know? But then I still owe Imakotopong Ilokuzana I record, you know? Yeah, hence I recorded with the band, you know, not as Mako, you know, Mako and Siabulela, you know?
That's right, yeah.
We respect, you know, the other obligations. Yeah, well,
correct.
Dope Africa Rise, yeah, man. Yeah, it's my home.
Well, we look forward to hearing all of it and everything that's going to come out from that project. But this one, Lullaby for Kayo, comes out on the 5th of April. And of course, as jazz fans, we also want to know about Makoi. Are we getting CDs? Are we getting vinyls?
Vinyls, maybe later this year or next year, but definitely CDs. On the 5th, you know, in fact, the CDs have been printed, you know. Yeah. So he's couriering a few, you know. So people better get in touch with us while stocks last, you know. And then, then I go to America to do the SF Jazz, you know, San Francisco Jazz Festival, and then few other gigs with my friend Gary, you know, Siabulela. And then I'll come back with more stocks, you know, yeah. So that I have enough stock to go buy and, sell to South Africans as well, and people across the world, South Africa at home. And June, that's where I'm going to go on a mini tour, going to a few towns, to do kind of CD launch, tour, this album. And also celebrating my 65th birthday, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm brain dead, yeah. So this is, you know, I'm born on the 1st of June, so it's going to be around early June into, mid-June. Yeah, I'm just going to promote this, Akai.
No, listen, we look forward to it. And you, as such a young man, you know, celebrating, you know, 65. Ah, listen, it's very young age, very fantastic age to be a musician at this time. But we look forward to seeing you on stage, and we look forward to being a part of this new journey, this new chapter in the life and times of Makwe Mkhubata as you take this on the road. And of course, congratulations, sir, on this new chapter and on this new project, you know, Ilalabai for Ukayoyo. And of course, we salute Ukayoyo because he's an inspiration, you know, to you know, written in history as the one who created this next project for you.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. And big thanks, you know, I've thanked Sitton. I can't thank him enough. You know, the two record companies merging and doing this. And the musicians, you know, the two I spoke about that I workshop the music with, and my band in South Africa, you know, Nhlanhla Radebe, Benny Sibuyikhanyo, No, Wandile Molefe, you know, because I absorb the music with them, you know. There'll come a stage whereby I do love recordings that Baudlale did the very same songs, you know, because that's how life goes anyway. And then, of course, the musicians in America, you know, firstly, my big brother, Gary Whitner, you know, he's become a brother and a partner in crime, you know, doing this, you know. And then musicians, you know, who played on this, you know, George Gray, who played with Abdullah, drama, super drama, you know, in his 70s, he played with our own Abdullah for over 14 years. And then even Christopher, clarinet player, you know, alto, supreme, you know, pianist, Steve Fifke, you know, beautiful, you know, his roots are actually in South Africa. His father was a drama, you know. Yeah, we spoke, you know. Oh, what a phenomenal music. People must check him out, you know. Yes. He runs a big band, he lectures. And then our own Sia Charles on trombone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, great, yeah. Great bass player that I have the privilege to work with, you know, before I formed Sia Bulela, you know, with Jennifer Vincent.
Multi-award-winning, multi-award nominee, including saxophonist, flautist, educator, Makwe Mkhubata for Our Africa this Sunday on the K-Jazz Show.